Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia.
The closure of Suwon recently. Suwon is the main central landfill in South Bali that serves Denpasar, Tabanan, Gianyar, and Badung. And every day, about 1,300 tons of trash gets sent to the landfill. And so closing a landfill overnight, obviously you need infrastructure, and that created giant chaos. For the last few months, there's been different trials of closure by stopping to accept organic waste. And we've seen hundreds of trucks lining up in Suwon, creating traffic, but creating a lot of confusion. And I think one of the things at the moment that is confusing Bali residents is what is the newest statement related to what is and what is not allowed. On some days, Suwon will open up randomly and allow, the trucks that have been lining up at the landfill and allow entrance. On some days, not. But now the idea is full closure. And unfortunately, Bali does not have an alternative. So we've seen, residents really being angry and starting to burn trash openly, starting to dump it on bridges.
Itu tadi pendengar, Gary Bencajib, salah satu pendiri Sungai Watch, sebuah organisasi nirlaba yang memasang ratusan penghalang sampah di sungai-sungai Indonesia untuk mencegah plastik mencapai lautan. Seperti yang Gary sampaikan, pemerintah Bali telah menghentikan penerimaan sampah organik di TPA Suwung sejak bulan April dan penutupan penuh dijadwalkan pada bulan Agustus. Sementara, infrastruktur pengganti belum tersedia. Gary mengatakan bahwa TPA Suwung merupakan tempat pembuangan utama di Bali Selatan yang melayani 4 kabupaten dan menerima sekitar 1.300 ton sampah per hari. Menurutnya, penutupan tanpa kesiapan infrastruktur telah mengakibatkan ratusan truk mengantri tanpa kepastian. Perubahan kebijakan ini juga mengakibatkan sebagian warga membakar sampah atau membuang sampah di jembatan dan sungai. Lalu, saya menanyakan mengenai solusi atas krisis pengelolaan sampah akibat penutupan TPA Suwung. Dan Gary mengatakan bahwa persoalannya sangat rumit karena setiap desa di Bali seharusnya mengelola sampahnya sendiri melalui TPS lokal, namun banyak yang sudah penuh atau tidak beroperasi. Kompleksitas ini diperparah oleh tumpang tindih kewenangan antara pemerintah adat dan administratif di tingkat desa. Gary menyampaikan bahwa pejabat tinggi Bali sendiri belum mengetahui solusi jangka pendeknya. Fasilitas pengolahan sampah menjadi energi baru akan dibuka pada tahun 2028, dan pertanyaan besarnya adalah apa yang terjadi dalam beberapa bulan ke depan hingga fasilitas tersebut dibuka.
My name is Gary Bencajib. I'm French, but I've been living in Bali now for the last 21 years and consider Bali my home. And I'm the co-founder of Sungai Watch. We are an NGO trying to change the perspective of how our rivers in Indonesia are being treated. Unfortunately, so Bali is teared up when it comes down to waste management, because every village is supposed to handle waste management at the village level, meaning they're supposed to have TPS. TPS is sorting centers that are very localized. But unfortunately, a lot of the localized sorting centers are filled up. They do not operate. It's on somewhere when there's been government spending to build conveyor belts and machines, a lot of the times these machines are not in operation. And so we're seeing over and over that these systems are failing. And Bali has sort of a competition within its village rules and administrative governance between its cultural government and administrative government. And so that's what makes it very difficult. Because on some village level, waste management is handled by the cultural leadership, whilst in some other villages, it's handled by its administrative village leadership. And so the adat and the dinas in Indonesian. And so that is, I think, one of the things that have made the waste management scenario very difficult to handle in Bali. And that comes, for us at Sungai Watch, every single time we place a single barrier, we work with both leaderships in order to make sure that we get the permits and that things can go through. But when we're speaking about the global, or at least the island-wide waste management schematic, it's very difficult to even comprehend the complexity of it, from the garbage pickup that is oftentimes non-existent to where it actually ends up. And so the closure of the landfill is you know, really putting a big question mark on leaders' forehead. And even to the point that recently in a meeting, our team was meeting high-level officials in Bali, and they do not know what the immediate solution really is. Bali is set to open a waste-to-energy plant in 2028, but that's about 16 months away. So what happens in the next 16 months? And I think that's the real question that activists, leaders are really asking.
Ketika saya menanyakan siapa sebenarnya penyebab utama persoalan sampah di Bali, apakah wisatawan, warga lokal, atau keduanya, Gary menjelaskan bahwa permasalahan utamanya bukan terletak di siapa yang membuang, akan tetapi infrastruktur pengelolaan sampah yang memang belum memadai.
In Bali, obviously it's 5 million people, and then you have, I think, 7 to 8 million tourists. This is domestic and international, but obviously, you know, so many people. During COVID, actually, we saw a decline in the garbage because there was less money expenditure by the Balinese. With tourism, that means that the Balinese have more wealth to spend into food, into packaging, into products. And so, you know, a lot of people are blaming it on tourists, but I think it's a mixture of both. And the real, you know, if we were to blame something, it would be the infrastructure. So here's to future with better infrastructure. It can still be solved, but we need to do it all together.
Saya juga menanyakan jenis sampah apa yang paling banyak ditemukan di sungai-sungai Bali. Gary mengatakan, Sungai Watch mengumpulkan segala jenis sampah non-organik, mulai dari kantong plastik, botol, hingga perabotan, dan bahkan bangkai hewan. Namun, berdasarkan data dari 9 pusat pemilahan yang mereka operasikan di Bali dan Jawa Timur, sekitar 30% dari sampah yang terkumpul adalah plastik fleksibel seperti saset dan kantong plastik sekali pakai. Menurutnya, meskipun larangan kantong plastik sekali pakai telah diberlakukan sejak tahun 2019, penggunaannya masih sangat umum di pasar-pasar tradisional termasuk untuk membungkus sesajen.
At Sungai Watch, we're focused on pulling out all non-organic trash from rivers. So we place simple barriers, they're floating barriers. We've placed over 400 of them in Bali and in East Java to stop the flow of plastics from going to the ocean. And so, you know, part of our collection is pretty much everything you can think of. You know, we collect plastic bags to plastic bottles. Teams have found 2 dead babies once in a river. We see couches, TVs, a lot of dead animals. But when we look at our data, because every single collection that we do, we bring it to our sorting centers. We operate 9 sorting centers in both Bali and East Java. And about 30% of the plastics that we collect is flexible plastics. So, you know, things like sachets, plastic bags, and these are still widely used all around the island. Despite a ban on single-use plastic bags in 2019 that we've seen in modern retailers, they're still widely used at the traditional level. So meaning in traditional markets, you know, that's what we really see on and on. And even the ways that offerings are wrapped is typically using single-use plastic bags.
Saya juga menyoroti bahwa di Australia, kemasan saset plastik sekali pakai seperti yang banyak ditemukan di Indonesia diatur dengan ketat dan hanya dipergunakan untuk produk-produk tertentu saja. Gary membenarkan hal ini dan menjelaskan bahwa Indonesia belum memiliki standar kemasan, sehingga 2 saset yang terlihat sama bisa saja terbuat dari jenis plastik yang berbeda. Hal ini membuat proses pemilahan dan daur ulang sangat sulit, meskipun Sungai Watch sudah memilah sampah ke dalam sekitar 30 kategori material. Menurutnya, inilah mengapa Sungai Watch juga melakukan audit terhadap merek-merek produsen dan mendorong pemerintah untuk menerapkan Undang-Undang Tanggung Jawab Produsen atau Extended Producer Responsibility, EPR, yang sudah 4 tahun dipersiapkan namun terus tertunda.
There's no standards when it comes down to waste packaging. And so that's what makes it very difficult even to sort, to recycle. You know, you can be picking up 2 flexible sachets that are transparent, but they're 2 different types of plastics because there's no regulations in place around what are the standards that packagers, producers should be using. And so I think that's what makes it very difficult. The first step, obviously, is collection for us. Second step is sorting. We sort into about 30 different types of material. So that's including, you know, the transparent film, plastic bags. There's like 3 different types of sachets, metallized, aluminum foil. But even that, you know, to the naked eye and to the average consumer, it's very difficult to tell the difference. And so a lot of the work that we've been doing actually at Sungai Watch has been all about auditing the brands in order to understand and to create a system in place to hold the producers accountable and to understand the packaging that we're collecting. And so that's something that we're speaking with the Ministry of Environment about. You know, to properly introduce an extended producer responsibility law. Indonesia is set to introduce this new extended producer responsibility law that they've been working on for, I think, the last 4 years. And it's basically what we're all waiting for. But I think that date as well has been pushed back. And so oftentimes, very much like the landfill of Suwung, it's an announcement that's made on public media, but then it's pushed back months and months and months. So I think, you know, for us on the ground, it shows us that we need to keep on going, and we're very impatient, but this work needs to happen, so we're not going to give up.
Ketika saya menanyakan penyebab penundaan penerapan regulasi EPR dan penetapan TPA Suwung, Gary menjelaskan bahwa keduanya terhambat oleh ketidaksiapan sistem. Untuk Suwung, belum ada infrastruktur pengganti, sementara untuk EPR, prosesnya terkendala di tingkat kebijakan. Ia mengatakan bahwa persoalan ini jauh lebih besar dari kapasitas Sungai Watch sebagai organisasi nirlaba kecil dan dibutuhkan perubahan di tingkat nasional. Inilah yang mendorong proyek terbaru mereka berlari dari Bali ke Jakarta menempuh 25 km setiap hari dari akhir Maret hingga Juni untuk membawa isu ini langsung ke hadapan Presiden.
Suwung, obviously, just because that solution, right, the next alternative of what happens to the waste, that's what I think is pausing everything. You know, if you want to close a landfill, well, you need the infrastructures in place, you need the people to be ready, you need the system to work. So stopping a landfill all of a sudden asks the biggest question of where will the waste end up? And I think Bali is really on red alert now when it comes down to waste management, with open fires every night being sent, DMs after DMs of residents all around the island, expats and locals complaining about their waste dump, asking Sungai Watch to come pick it up or Sungai Watch to do something. We're just an NGO. We're very small. This is much bigger than what we can handle. So on one end, you know, it's just the big question of where does waste end up and why aren't infrastructure ready? When it comes down to the other conversation of, you know, the packaging and the EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility Law, being pushed back, that's more of a lobbying question and understanding how does it work within the system. I think we realize that this impacts everyone, not just, you know, the tourists that come to Bali, not just the residents. We really need a systems change. And I think that's why we launched our recent newest project of running physically from Bali to Jakarta, running 25 kilometers every single day to bring Bali's issue of on waste to Indonesia's capital, to Indonesia's president.
Mengenai tujuan dari aksi lari ini, Gary mengatakan selain menarik perhatian pemerintah pusat, perjalanan ini juga menjadi kesempatan untuk memahami persoalan sampah di Pulau Jawa yang dihuni 160 juta penduduk. Sepanjang perjalanan, mereka bertemu dengan berbagai pejabat daerah, dan satu hal yang semakin jelas, persoalan pengelolaan sampah bukan hanya masalah Bali, tetapi masalah keseluruhan Indonesia.
I think so. You know, our work in Bali, we've sort of set the baseline of how to clean rivers, how to create a system, how to engage, you know, multi-stakeholders from communities on the ground to high-level government. And our main goal is to really expand our work to Java. Bali has a population of about 5 million people. On the other hand, Java is the most populated island in the world, 160 million people living in Java, and it's a whole other level. And I think so. I think we, you know, this has been an exploratory trip for us, really understanding the problem, meeting with different levels of governments, but really understanding how the root cause begins and how can we properly, you know, make a change. And so obviously, the goal is to get the attention of the president and end at his palace on the 24th of May. In another 2 weeks. We're pushing for that, you know, to have a proper sit down with him. So far, you know, our reception along the run has been incredible. The fact that we're running engages governors, mayors, the doors have been open for us to really have incredible discussions on what is needed, what are the challenges in each region. But if there's one thing that we're learning is that, you know, waste management is a major issue, not just in Bali, but across Indonesia.
Saya sempat menanyakan apakah kondisi sampah di sungai-sungai Jawa sama dengan krisis pembuangan sampah di Bali, dan Gary mengatakan bahwa situasinya sangat bervariasi, di mana di beberapa daerah terpencil, kondisinya jauh lebih buruk daripada di Bali. Namun, ada juga daerah yang berhasil seperti Surabaya yang meraih penghargaan kota terbersih dan Kabupaten Banyumas yang telah menerapkan sistem pengangkutan sampah terjadwal dan mengolahnya menjadi bahan bakar alternatif. Lalu saya menanyakan apa yang seharusnya dipahami oleh wisatawan tentang Bali di luar apa yang mereka lihat di Instagram Reels atau media sosial lainnya. Gary menyampaikan bahwa Bali yang tampil di layar ponsel kita memang indah, tetapi ada sisi lain yang jarang terlihat. Namun menurutnya, keindahan Bali yang sesungguhnya masih ada dan masih bisa dijaga, asalkan semua pihak ikut berkontribusi sekecil apapun itu.
I think, you know, Bali in particular even hits even more as home, and I think there's obviously a different version of paradise that you may see on social media. You know, right now it's been a lot of obviously, you know, seeing the dark side of the Bali, but there's true beauty in it, and you can just see it by, you know, the people's smiles. But we need everybody, you know, to do something about it. So if you're visiting Bali next, understand that, you know, there's still a very beautiful side to it. There's still hope, but it's going to take all of us to really do something about it, whether it's, you know, having that one conversation with the Balinese that you meet, or you yourself donating $1 to Sungai Watch. I think the beauty is that we can do this together and really preserve this incredible island for future generations.
Gary, thank you so much for your time, for speaking for SBS.
Thank you so much, Anne, for sharing our story. And we're so grateful to have this opportunity to share our story with SBS.
Sukai, berbagi, komentar. Ikuti SBS program Bahasa Indonesia di Facebook.